Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Supernatural George. I'm Mittens, and today we're going to be talking about Season 6, Episode 7, Family Matters, written by Andrew Dabb and Daniel Laughlin, and directed by Guy Norman Bee. We pick up shortly after we left off last week. Dean's called in Cass, and I guess he used the top secret emergency code to actually get Cass to turn up for once without having to yell for days. And we all learn the shocking truth of what's actually wrong with Sam. We also learn that somehow Samuel does have a soul, which says a lot about Samuel, if we're being honest here, the things he was willing to do even with his soul. Even if, as he reserved judgment about what the hell was wrong with Sam this whole time. But I always appreciated this episode for finally giving Dean back some of his agency and control over his life again, because he's been scrambling to even get a foothold on the truth all season to this point. I also get to enjoy the irony of the notion that the Campbell clan's holier-than-thou attitude toward Dean all season long is gonna start looking awful tarnished from this point on, since we finally get to start seeing what's actually been going on with their shady monster hunting practices. We also get to feel a bit righteously justified in all the feelings Dean's had all season that something was really off with the Campbells, proving it wasn't just jealousy or some petty feeling of being left out prompting those feelings. And Sam and Dean learn that they've been on Crowley's payroll all season long, and they're supposedly stuck working for him until they earn Sam's soul back. What a thing to learn. I mean, even if they'll eventually learn that there was nothing Crowley could do to return Sam's soul anyway, no matter how much work they did for him, Crowley was just incapable of giving Sam back his soul, apparently. It was all a bluff. He was in collusion with Cass this whole time, because even if it wasn't about Sam's soul specifically, it's still all about the souls all through this whole season. And I'd like to just restate my feelings about soulless Sam and Dean's assessment of him as a shocked and disgusted, "Wow, you've got no instinct." Even while Sam keeps doing math and keeps coming up with certainty that he is choosing the right thing, you know, makes me think that, gosh, he really should have chosen something a little more along the lines of Donatello's assessment later on in the series about what would be the right thing to do. What would Mr. Rogers do? Sam wasn't doing what would Mr. Rogers do. He was doing what's best for Sam in this situation, regardless of if it was a good and moral and just and right and kind thing to do. It's not even so much that he was doing what Dean would have done in any of these circumstances, because Dean is pretty friggin' horrified by Sam's choices a lot of the time. Sam was just doing whatever was most practical, whatever would get the result he needed to get. And that's kind of terrifying and awful. And I know later on we'll compare soulless Sam to some of the other soulless characters we see, but he really wasn't that good of a person. I know people like to say, but Sam would never have done that when he was... Yeah, he did some pretty horrible shit when he was soulless, so... Anyway, moving right along. Like most of Season 6, I think the best way through it is just to keep on plowing, and that's what I intend to do. We're not taking too many distractions and detours because the season itself doesn't really do any of that. I mean, we're on with the Campbells until all of a sudden we're not with the Campbells anymore. And, well, we need a worse, bigger bad. So we pick Crowley and then, oh, it's not Crowley. It's the mother of all and purgatory and monsters. And it's like just a constant churn of bad things happening until we finally get to the actual bad thing, which is Cass, and it has been all season long. Well, with Crowley's assistance, but, you know. Anyway, that's Season 6 for you. Couldn't quite nail down a plot that would satisfy all of these needs without snaking through a bunch of red herrings. All that said, I suppose we should just get right into the then segment. We begin with a reminder of 2 episodes ago. Where Dean was a vampire for a hot minute, and he learned that the Alpha is building an army. the vampires, and maybe monsters in general, just aren't scared of hunters anymore. We get a quick reminder of who Samuel is to them, that he'd been dead too, and is now also mysteriously back. And then we get Dean's concerns over Sam that are entirely grounded in the scenes of Sam that we get, where it's very clear that something is seriously wrong with Sam. Dean asks Bobby and even Cass for help about what's wrong with Sam, and none of them seem to know. And then we see the scene of Sam's face as he watches Dean get turned by the vampire, and the evil little smile he gets. And Samuel questioning him about it, explaining that, and Sam just getting offended that Samuel would even suggest that Sam would let that happen to his own brother, even though we literally are watching it happen on screen. And then Dean questioning Sam, like, you got my back, right, Sammy? Knowing that Sam doesn't, and Sam just lying like butter wouldn't melt in his mouth to Dean. Which gets proven out last week by Veritas, accusing Sam of being not human because he can lie to her. Ending with Sam admitting that there's something wrong with him to Dean at knife point, when he knows that Dean's going to kill him if he doesn't start telling the truth here. And then Dean pummeling Sam into unconsciousness. When we wake up, it's now. And Sam's vision becomes more and more focused as Cass inspects him. Cass starts asking Sam all kinds of questions. Do you feel feverish? Are you speaking in tongues? And Sam's like, what, are you trying to diagnose me? And Dean's just like, shut up and answer the questions. Cass then asks how much he's been sleeping, and Sam's like, I don't. So Dean hasn't noticed the fact that Sam has not slept since they started working cases together again. And Sam says, no, he hasn't slept since he got back from hell. It's like a year he hasn't slept, and he hasn't thought that was weird or something that he probably should mention to somebody. Cass then asks Sam what he's feeling right now. Sam's like, I feel like my nose is broken. And Cass is like, no, that's a physical sensation. How do you feel? But Sam just cannot answer that question. He doesn't know how he feels. Cass takes off his belt, folds it in half, puts it in Sam's mouth, and tells him this is going to be unpleasant. If there's some place that you find comforting, go there in your mind. And then jams his hand into Sam's chest the same way he did to Aaron Birch, the first episode we saw Cass this season, checking his soul. And unfortunately for Sam, Cass comes up empty. Sam does not have a soul at all. And it kind of feels like retribution from Sam not having spoken up before Cass did this same procedure to Aaron Birch. Like, you wouldn't defend a kid from having to receive this torture, essentially. And Dean just stands there and watches Sam critically during this entire process. And it's kind of like, it's only fair, I suppose. I, for one, cannot accept that Cass already knew that Sam was soulless before this. I don't think he even considered that to be a possibility. Even if Cass was the one who pulled Sam from the cage and returned him to Earth, I don't think he checked to put Sam's soul back together. I don't think it even occurred to him. I don't think he'd done it maliciously, and I don't think he did it intentionally. I really do think that he only just now discovered how big a mistake he had made, because otherwise his whole remorse that he expresses in The Man Who Would Be King would ring hollow. He truly would have been the evil villain that this season is trying to force him to become. And I cannot see him that way, and I never will see him that way. I guess I can kind of understand why a lot of Sam stans kind of hate Cass for this, but I can't see that any of this was done maliciously or intentionally. He knew how much this would hurt Dean. I don't think Cass would, even if he doesn't care too much about Sam, I don't think Cass would ever do anything that would hurt Dean. I can't see it happening. Especially in a season where all of Cass's horrific choices stemmed from that instinct, that desire to protect Dean, to keep Dean safe and out of the line of fire of heaven and hell and everything in between. His only goal in not going to Dean to ask for help at first was to protect him. I don't think that he would have intentionally and deliberately done anything to harm Sam. You will never convince me of it. So that's how I talk about everything that happens this season. If y'all can't understand that, then you might get kind of annoyed with me after a while. Anyway, we then cut to the title card. After the title card, we go right back to the motel room where Dean and Cass are talking about Sam and debating whether or not it's actually Sam and where his soul might be, probably still in the cage with Michael and Lucifer. Dean suggests Cass go get it. You know, he pulled Dean out of hell once. Go do the same for Sam. And Cass explains that the cage is much better guarded and he had multiple angels help him retrieve Dean's soul. So there is no way, Cass is saying, for them to raid the cage, which makes you wonder if Cass really actually was the one who retrieved it and it wasn't just Crowley yoinking him out, because Crowley being the king of hell now would have had better access to hell. Kind of makes you wonder, you know, Cass says it was his doing that got Sam out. Well, maybe it was Crowley handing him off to Cass after he pulled him out of the cage. We will never know for sure because everybody's lying about everything all the time in season 6, and some things are just never completely clarified. What were their roles in all of this? But while Cass and Dean are debating what the state of Sam's soul is, Sam is getting bored just sitting there in the chair, and he's already working at untying himself. Sam asks if they're going to untie him, and Dean's like, no, I'm not. How am I even supposed to let you out of this room? And Sam's like, well, I'm not some kind of psycho. I didn't want you to get hurt. We just needed to get the vamps. And it's like, oh my God, Sam, really? Really? Then he just releases his arms from the rope bindings. Sam just says, you know, you're not going to hold me anywhere, not even in the panic room. So you're stuck with me. You may as well work with me and let's fix this. Dean warns Sam that he's going to just be watching every move that Sam makes, and Sam is saying all the right things. He sounds contrite, like he understands what he did wrong now, and he promises it won't happen again. And finally, Dean realizes there really is no other solution here. I've got to work with him if I'm going to save him. Back on that game again, huh? Save your brother at all costs game. And he orders Cass to heal Sam's wounds. Dean asks Sam if he has any idea who sprang him from the cage, because that would be someone to ask for help in getting the rest of him out of the cage. If Cass doesn't have the muscle to get Sam's soul out of the cage, who would? Whoever sprung him. Which makes me think that, yeah, Cass may have brought Sam up from hell, but I don't know that he actually sprang Cass from the cage without Crowley's help. Because we know behind the scenes, Cass is doing everything with Crowley this season. Even if that does not yet become clear in this episode, it will become clear soon enough. I mean, I'm not even sure if it was supposed to have been Cass at this point in the season when they were writing these episodes. Did the writers even know that Cass would eventually be the one to confess that he was the one who got Sam out of the cage? Or if that's something they tacked on later just to punish Cass and make Cass look more deserving of his sacrifice to the narrative at the end of the season, the beginning of next season. Either way, I still don't believe it 100%. Because with Cass standing right here and them saying, well, we need to make a list of everyone powerful enough to have potentially retrieved your soul from hell, and Cass asking Sam, are you sure you have no memories of being brought back? Maybe it's just he's concerned that Sam might remember seeing him drop him off in a field and associate Cass himself with his rescue from hell. But Sam does not have any memories. His only idea is to go ask Samuel. because whoever brought Sam out of the cage probably brought Samuel back too. And Cass willingly goes with them for this, even though we know, well, we won't know until the man who would be king, Crowley is the one who brought Samuel back. So why wouldn't he have also been the one to release Sam from the cage, even part of Sam? And if it had been Crowley, what if he did do it intentionally? We'll just never know. Whatever is the strategic option for Crowley, that's what he would have done. I find it really interesting that Cass does not even ride in the car with them. Sam and Dean ride alone, and Cass will join them on cue, so he was still paying attention to them, but he was not sharing their company. It's almost like he was being very deliberate in how he interacted with them, staying away from them as much as he could, and later we'll find out being with them, but invisibly and without their knowledge, but not allowing himself their company. Like, he couldn't bear it, or there were too many secrets he was trying to keep from them, and he was afraid that they would see through him and find out the truth about what he was doing. And Dean didn't push for it. There wasn't some scene where he's like, yeah, get in the car. Cass was just like, I'll meet you there. And we never get to see that scene, but you have to imagine a conversation like that did happen when Cass didn't just climb in the car like he always had with them. And that in itself is telling about his relationship with them this season. At the Campbell compound, Sam receives a warm welcome and a great big hug from Christian Campbell. Remember, he's been possessed by a demon the whole time? Yeah, of course the demon is, like, all pleased to see the soulless dude who's on the payroll and when he knows the whole big plan and that they've been working for Crowley the whole time and all that. He only gives Dean a, hey, you're there too, right? Yeah, whatever. They go into Samuel's office where he'd been studying something and he quickly secretes it away before anybody sees what he was doing. And they ask Samuel what he remembers about the day he got back. He's like, we've been over this. Dean's like, recap it for our wingman. And then Cass materializes behind Samuel. Samuel makes the crack about Cass being scrawnier than he pictured. And Cass comes back with the famous line of his true form being approximately the size of their Chrysler building. And Dean's like, ah, quit bragging. And it's like, he's a wavelength of intent. Does he actually have a size and shape and dimensions that a human can perceive? Whatever. But it did spawn a lot of really amusing fan art of Cass cowering in front of buildings that are taller than the Chrysler building. Anyway, I could probably do a whole episode just on Angel Grace and stuff like that, but that is not for us to deal with right here because there's too much else in this episode. Like human souls. Samuel was dead, and then the next thing he knew, he was alive, and he had no idea how he got there. So Cass runs the same test on Samuel to make sure he has a soul. His screaming in pain when Cass jams his hand in his chest draws Christian in to make sure that everything is okay. And right here, when Christian barges in and sees Cass, he glances over at Cass. Cass stares at him. Cass knows he's a demon. Christian knows this is an angel. Maybe even knows that this is the angel working with his boss Crowley. And none of that gets said in this episode, but it's one of those moments that you look back at and you're like, oh yeah, Cass was in on this bigger plan the entire time. Cass, though, pronounces Samuel's soul to be intact, which makes Samuel look at Sam like, you are missing a bit. Sam asks Samuel if he knew that Sam was soulless. And Samuel says, no, not that specifically, but sometimes you scare me. Like, there was something wrong with you, even if I couldn't put my finger on what. Also, to Samuel's credit, his very first question is, okay, how do we fix this? How do we get Sam's soul back? Meanwhile, Cass turns his back on the conversation and looks up at the sky like concerned, distressed. His war is not going well. We, the audience, get to see that even if Sam and Dean are more wrapped up in their own drama for understandable reasons. But Cass neglects to explain anything about what he's actually fighting up in heaven. He just looks upset that he has to leave and at least lets them know, Sam, Dean, I have to go. And even though Cass gets snarky with them, like, of course, your problems always come first, when Dean tells him to tear the attic up looking for a way to help Sam, it's clear that Cass is getting put through the ringer with this war and then getting hit with this information about Sam and feeling responsible, at least in some part, for what Sam is now going through and therefore what Dean is going through and this whole situation of the Campbells working with demons, all of it. Cass knows here it's all starting to unravel on him. The harder he's tried to keep Dean out of it, the more Dean is getting dragged back in. And it's got to be frustrating for him when you look at it through the perspective of knowing how the season ends. But now that Cass is gone and they can focus on their family issues, Dean asks why the book club, why everybody seems to be assembled in the other room, preparing for a hunt. They found a lead on the Alpha Vampire, and Samuel plans to take a run at him at dawn. Sam is distressed. He's like, why didn't you call me? And Dean's like, because of me. You don't trust me, do you, Samuel? It's more than that. It's not that he doesn't trust Dean. It's that Dean's not looped into their family way of doing things, that they catch alphas. They don't kill them. Samuel tells Dean that, no, it's not that I don't trust you. It's just that I don't know you. Not like I know Sam. And despite Sam not having a soul and Samuel having just discovered why, Sam had given him some reservations over the last year of working with him, that, you know, his ruthlessness might be just a little bit off the charts. Samuel is unwilling to loop Dean in. He doesn't trust Dean. Dean's like, that's okay. You call the shots. I can be a team player. You just point me in the direction and I'll be backup for your family. Dean insists that he's going to follow Samuel's lead and tells Samuel, I trust you, okay? Even if you don't trust me. And then it cuts to outside the compound. Dean's first words are, I don't trust him. He's convinced that Samuel is hiding something from him. He tells Sam, who's like, what? That he'd be able to sense it too if he could feel anything at all. But he's Robo-Sam right now. Sam, though, is shocked because Dean, of all people, saying that he doesn't trust family is shocking to Sam. It's not part of the equations that he would have ever used. And Dean just lets it go for right now. We'll get back to it a little bit later on about Sam's presumptions about family and Dean's usual, I'll do anything and die for family, but family may not end in blood, but it doesn't necessarily start there either. And Samuel has not done anything to overwhelmingly earn Dean's trust yet. Dean still believes that Samuel is their best lead on Sam's soul and any information they can get on it. And he wants to stay close to the Campbell family just to keep tabs on it all because they just don't have any other leads to follow right now. Sam and Dean go back inside the compound and Dean gets a cup of coffee and then puts it down and makes sure the coast is clear and then heads towards Samuel's office, picks the lock, at which point he's caught by Christian, who makes Dean feel very unwelcome on the hunt and in the family. He's like, I've tried to play nice with you and blah, blah, blah. And putting Dean's skill as a hunter into question. That they don't need him or want him on the hunt, that bad things happen, almost as if he's threatening Dean, like, watch your back. And Dean's like, oh, don't worry, I've got your back. Dean is fully aware of how unwanted the Campbells have made him feel. The entire family heads out. Samuel runs the operation. They're parked on the other side of the hill from where the compound where the vampires is. He gives orders. Christian takes one flank. Samuel and Sam will take the other. And for Dean and Gwen to hang back. And she complains, what, I'm in the rear with the reject? Obviously, it's an important part of the mission to catch any straggling vamps who might try and escape while they're being flanked from the other sides. But they're made to feel like, oh, you're just going to be biding your time until we finish the actual work. And it makes me wonder why Samuel picked Gwen for this detail. Is he just trying to protect her like he would Mary? And Gwen will make a comment about this in a moment here. Sam hangs back for just a moment and tells Dean not to worry, that everything is fine. And Dean's like, nothing's fine. You're not fine. None of this is fine. But go, go. You've got a mission. Go take care of it. Once they're alone, Gwen apologizes for the reject comment. She expresses her frustration at always being left behind because apparently she reminds Samuel of his daughter or something. And Dean's like, well, you do speak your mind. And she thinks about that for a second. She's like, yeah, I'll take that as a compliment. And Dean's like, yeah, you should. He actually likes her. He gets it. He is okay with her. Before they can say too much more, they hear a stick snap out in the woods, and they're both on their guard. They draw their machetes, and then the vampire jumps out of the bushes, knocks Gwen down. Dean fights him off of her. The vampire throws Dean down before Dean can even get his bearings, get his weapon, get back on his feet. His head's gone. Gwen took care of it. Unfortunately, the vampire corpse fell right on top of Dean, spraying blood all in his face. Gwen thinks this is kind of amusing. She's like, you're welcome. But she offers him a hand up. There's no hard feelings between them. They're just both doing their jobs. They're both competent at what they do. Then they hear gunfire coming from the compound. And of course, Dean being Dean, he runs off in the direction of the gunfire. Gwen's like, we're supposed to wait here. I mean, they've already been jumped by one vampire. Their cover is blown. Running towards the compound where the vampires might be fleeing from is probably not going to cause any trouble. But Dean sees through the gate as he comes upon the house. There's bodies strewn around. There's gunfire still going off in the house. And he's looking for a way in. The gate is locked. He looks up and sees the weather vane from his vision that the alpha vampire sent when he was still a vampire. As he's looking at all the dead vampires strewn about the courtyard, somebody bangs on one of the windows inside the house and screams his name and gets pulled backwards, and then there's a blood spatter on the curtains. At least one of the hunters is already dead. In the distance, Dean can hear Samuel shouting for Sam, and he creeps around the building until he sees Sam, Samuel, a couple other hunters, loading a hooded person into a van with a bottle of blood on a IV. Is it dead man's blood in the IV to keep him compliant? Possibly something along those lines. Because Dean recognizes the person's hands as the hands he saw in his vision of the alpha vampire with the big pointy nails. Dean ducks back behind the house as Sam turns and looks in his direction like he felt like he was being watched. But of course he doesn't see Dean because Dean is too quick. So whatever this shady bullshit with the alpha vampire is, Sam is in on it, and Dean knows that. One more lie that Sam still hadn't told him even after he swore he would come clean. Dean shows back up with Gwen just before Samuel and the rest come back to the cars, minus the alpha vampire in the van. And she's like, Dean, where were you? But when Samuel asks if everything is okay, she doesn't blow Dean's cover. She doesn't say, well, Dean just wandered off for a while. She tells Samuel that they killed a runner, no big deal, how did everything go inside? She makes no motion to out that Dean hadn't been there the whole time. Samuel says that everything went fine, one alpha down, and Dean's like, that's not what I saw. Dean's being cagey, though. He's like, oh, where is he? I want to pay my last respects. Samuel tells him to bring marshmallows because he's already on the pyre, as if they've just disposed of the alpha and that's that, and let's go on with our lives now. And Dean is just supposed to accept this. Gwen also doesn't seem to know anything about that shady deal, which I have a feeling is why Samuel tried to keep her out of it as well. She's always getting left behind, blah, blah, blah. That's why he doesn't want her involved in the shadiness of what he's actually doing. In the car later that night, though, Dean asks Sam, "So, things went okay back there? Nothing weird?" Sam just shrugs and shakes his head, and Dean slams on the brakes and pulls the car over. He's like, yeah, I kinda saw something weird. Why don't you tell me all about it?" You could see Sam's face doing the whole recalculating, trying to come up with a response to Dean's anger at the lack of telling him the truth here. And Sam's reply isn't, "Here's the truth," it's, "You weren't supposed to know about that." And Dean's like, "Know about what? Why am I not supposed to know about this?" Sam knows that Samuel has been capturing things and taking them someplace and grilling them for info, torturing them. But Sam doesn't know why or what sort of info they're torturing out of them. He just knows that that's what they're doing. And Dean's like, "Not telling me that was Samuel's idea?" And Sam's like, "No, that was my idea." Dean would have messed things up. That Dean would have shot first and asked questions later. And that's why the entire Campbell clan has been keeping him at arm's length and being nasty to him and treating him like a second-class hunter, because they were told to keep Dean out of the loop on what's actually going on. And it's like, Sam, if there was a legitimate reason for Dean to not kill the bad thing, Dean would not kill the bad thing. He actually has a moral compass and an intellect, you know? He doesn't just go shooting everything and then worrying about questions. If you told him we need to interrogate this guy for information, Dean is a rational human being who would be like, "Okay, what sort of information and how do we go about doing that?" But you didn't even tell him. You didn't loop him in. You didn't think. All you thought was how you would react, Sam Winchester, that you would shoot. And all of Dean's guilt about believing that Sam was just trying to be more like him all season, that he expressed in the previous episode before he found out the truth, that Sam was simply trying to become more like him, and that's why Sam had become such a ruthless, brutal hunter, and Dean's just a killer, and that's all he's good for, blah, blah, blah. No. No, he really, really is not. Sam's the brutal one. Come on, guys. And this information just baffles Dean to no end. He's just like, "I don't care if you're soulless or what's wrong with you. You've just got to know that this is wrong. You know better than this." Dean accuses Sam of not even wanting his soul back. Dean's like, "Have you even been to this place where they have the interrogations? What does Samuel even want and why?" And Sam honestly has no idea. Dean's like, "How did it not occur to you that this is really shady?" And Sam's like, "But he's our grandfather." Dean's like, "Yeah, and clearly family doesn't mean the same thing to him that it does to us." Dean devolves into a sort of heartbreak here. He's like, "Wow, you really don't see it. You really don't see how messed up any of this is. You've got no instinct." And Sam's like, "Thanks." Like it was supposed to be some sort of insult instead of just being Dean's expert analysis on just how little natural instinct Sam has. He has no feeling about the matter. Dean basically delivers an ultimatum. He's like, "Nobody's forcing you to work with me, but if you want to stay with me, we do it my way. I'm in charge. You tell me everything, whether you think it's important or not. No more hiding anything, because you clearly can't tell the difference. Or go back with Samuel. Go do your thing with him, whatever the hell it is. It's on you to make a decision here. You can't play both sides of the team anymore here." And at the end of that scene, it's unclear what Sam's decision is going to be. So when it cuts back to Samuel's office again, and then Sam walks in saying, "Dean left," we, the viewer, aren't sure of what decision Sam has made. And that's kind of how soulless Sam is. We don't trust him that he's made the right decision to work with Dean. Obviously, he will, because he trusts Dean above everybody else, regardless of his soullessness. He knows that his former self would have trusted Dean here. But I like how that feels like a turning point moment for the viewer, for Dean, for Sam, where something has definitely changed in their dynamic for the season. And it only took 7 frickin' episodes to get to this point. I mean, there's still more to go before Sam is Sam again, but, you know, it just dragged on. I like Sam. I don't like this dark uncertainty around him. He's suffered enough, man. We've suffered enough on his behalf. Come on. But Sam presents it to Samuel that Dean left about an hour ago. They aren't seeing eye to eye. And now the family is all he has left. He wants in. He wants full family membership. He wants to be part of the interrogations. All of it. Samuel tells Sam that he knows. He knows Sam will be all in for it. But until we figure out the soul business of yours, I want you to keep doing what you're doing. Samuel doesn't trust Sam with the full information of what's going on now. Not that he would have before. I think that he keeps that information very close to the vest. But then Sam sneaks out to Samuel's truck, grabs his cell phone, and turns on the GPS on it before making his way back to Dean in the Impala, who'd been waiting a little ways away for him. Dean looks relieved that Sam's back, and Sam's like, "You didn't think I was coming back?" And Dean's like, "I gave it 60-40. And Sam thinks, "Yeah, that's fair." Sam casually opens his laptop and tells Dean that Samuel did not take the bait, did not invite him into the torture sessions with the Alpha, and he had to resort to plan B, which was turning on the GPS in one of his cell phones. And Dean's like, "Well, isn't he going to notice you turned on the GPS?" And Sam's like, he doesn't even really get Velcro as a modern concept, let alone the intricacies of how cell phones work. They follow Samuel and Christian to the facility where they are torturing and imprisoning the Alpha vampire. The door is splattered with dead man's blood, guess to keep any of the vampire Alpha's minions from trying to break him free. Though I honestly don't know if that would actually stop any of his minions from suicide running at the Alpha vampire if he called for them, which we know he can do because he did it to Dean. As they're sneaking around in this giant abandoned factory warehouse place, it says, "Danger, hazardous area. Do not enter unless authorized by operator on duty." And it's like, good advice, guys. Hazardous area. Then Christian appears down the hall and shuts a door behind himself, and he pauses at a room where Sam and Dean have ducked inside to hide from him, and he looks around like he knows somebody's in there, or he senses somebody, but he doesn't see either of them, and he shakes his head and it just keeps walking. When Christian's gone, Sam and Dean go to the room where he just came out of. Samuel is alone in there with the Alpha vampire, who's in a cage, chained to a chair, his hands and feet nailed down and connected to wires that Samuel is able to activate and deliver electric shocks to the Alpha vampire, who doesn't seem the slightest bit perturbed or annoyed or pained by any of it. He seems bored. Samuel is asking him where it is, how do they find it, and the Alpha vampire is refusing to answer. Samuel gets frustrated because nothing seems to frighten the Alpha vampire, and Samuel storms off, and as soon as he's gone, the Alpha grows out one of his fingernails real long and starts scratching at one of the leather straps binding his hands to this chair, and calls out to Sam and Dean like he's known they were there the entire time, and yeah, he probably could have smelled them. He's like, "Are you just going to stand out there?" Dean tells the Alpha that he's got some questions for him while he's not going anywhere fast. He's full of dead man's blood, so he can't send out his little bat signal to call for his minions. The Alpha knows Dean's name, knows exactly who he is, that he'd been a vampire for a short time. Probably terrifyingly knows more about Dean than Dean finds comfortable. He asks Dean if he enjoyed being a vampire, and Dean deflects and is like, "Yeah, I'm asking the questions." And he fires up the electrical shock, which, again, just inspires boredom in the Alpha. The Alpha is like, I'm happy to tell you anything you would like to know. You don't have to torture him. He'll just tell you. Because he's pretty confident that he's going to escape this situation and kill them momentarily here. Sam is actually intrigued by this. He's like, you're really it. You're the first of your species. He made a comment already that when humans first huddled around the campfire, he was the thing in the dark scaring them. Sam's like, well, if you're the first, then who made you? And that is the question, isn't it? The alpha vampire only cryptically says, we all have our mothers. Dean asks what's with the surge of vampire creation lately. And the vampire says, well, we're at war. And Sam asks, what's going on? Why did Samuel even bring you here? And the alpha realizes that Sam and Dean really have no idea. They're in the dark about the bigger picture, about the war in heaven, about this whole quest for purgatory, the fighting over the souls, and nobody will give them a direct answer. And that is the most frustrating thing about season 6, is it not? Just nobody gives direct answers. And if anybody had at any time given them a direct answer, if Sam hadn't tiptoed around his whole soulless situation, if he hadn't kept Dean in the dark about what Samuel was doing with alphas, if anyone had just come forward and been like, here's my problem, and they all sat down together, they probably could have come up with a much better solution than whatever bullshit happened here. Because, oh my God. Season 6, when you look at it, when you see all the layers and all the different moving parts to it, it's like, oh yeah, all this makes sense, but it literally all relies on nobody being able to tell the truth in complete sentences. And that is what makes it frustrating to me. Because immediately here, instead of answering Sam's question or even making a comment about how you know nothing, the alpha completely deflects and tells Sam, you smell cold. You don't have a soul, do you? They have a little, oh, you answer my question first. Oh, no, you answer my question first. And Sam's like, you're the one in the cage. And instead of answering his question, the alpha goes on about souls, because season 6 is all about souls in a really convoluted and roundabout way. He says souls are predictable. When you die, you go up or down, heaven or hell. Where do my kind go? And Dean's like, yeah, enough with the sermon. And the vampire's like, I'm trying to answer your question here by offering more cryptic facts. Eventually, they get to the point that when monsters die, they go to purgatory. It's filled with every soul like him that's ever walked the earth. The information that Samuel's been trying to beat out of him is where purgatory is. And that's a mystery. It's like asking a human, where's heaven? Where's hell? You know, most humans don't have that information. Now, Sam and Dean have been to hell. Sam and Dean have been to heaven. I don't know if they could, you know, point to it on a map. You know what I mean? The Alpha says he does not know where it is, and Samuel refuses to believe him. But Sam insists that he's positive that the Alpha knows exactly where purgatory is. So Sam asks why Samuel would want to know this information from him. Why is Samuel torturing him for this information? And the Alpha's like, he doesn't care about it. He's not doing it for himself. He's only following orders. Whose orders? They don't get an answer yet, because Samuel and Christian and yet another hunter discover them. They take Sam and Dean out in the hallway and strip them of weapons. There's quite a remarkable pile of weapons on the floor, considering. And even disarmed and at Samuel's mercy, Dean mouths off at him like, I've seen stupid, but you take the crown. What the hell are you doing? And who the hell's orders are you taking to do anything this stupid? Dean provokes Samuel, tells him that he's going to get everyone around him killed because he's clearly hiding something. Samuel grabs at Dean, and Dean takes advantage of the moment, dives for one of his weapons, doesn't quite get the clip back into his gun before another gun cocks down the hall. It's Gwen. and Dean drops the gun. The other unnamed hunter back in the room, still guarding the alpha vampire with his big old machete, he looks a little shaken. The alpha asks if he's scared of him, and the guy goes over and pushes the button to deliver an electrical shock, but the alpha's been working on that leather strap with that scary long fingernail for a while now, and that gives him the impetus to break his hand free, tear his chains off, and bust out of his cage and kill that other hunter. That's why he didn't have a name. He was just going to get slaughtered. But out in the hall, all the other hunters are like, oh shit, when their friend screams. Samuel even instructs Sam and Dean to gather up all their stuff, like gives them their weapons back, because they've got a mutual enemy they've got to fight now. But they're too late. The alpha is just gone. Shattered the IV drip of dead man's blood that they'd been running into him. Samuel thinks that he's got less than an hour until the alpha's at 100% again, and then's probably going to come after all of them. Samuel wants to get him dosed back up with dead man's blood. They've only got two little syringes full left. And Dean's like, no, we take its head off or we're all going to die. And it even looks like Christian is nodding in agreement, like, yeah, the guy makes sense. Dean has sort of taken control of this situation. He's like, we go room by room, flush him out. If you get a shot, take it. He's like, it probably won't do anything, but he'll run a lot slower without kneecaps. And the final thing Dean says is, if we all get through this, you, me, and Sam are having one hell of a family meeting. Like, we are going to lay everything out on the table, and we are all going to be operating from a point of truth instead of whatever bullshit Samuel is still hiding from them. After searching the building for a little while, Christian asks, so do you think he ran out? And then the alpha appears right behind him, twists his head around, supposedly breaks Christian's neck, and Samuel opens fire on him. And I mean, if I was the alpha, I obviously would have fled. Although, you know, wanting revenge, I do understand that motive, but my God. The alpha vampire catches Sam, and he holds him still. He's like, oh, you're going to be the perfect animal. The boy with no soul. I'm going to make you a vampire. And he ejects his vampire teeth like he's going to bite. And Christian comes right up behind him and stabs a thing of dead man's blood right into his neck. And Sam's like, what? Because Christian has demon black eyes. As Dean comes running into the room, several other demons appear, snatch up the alpha vampire, and disappear with him. And while they're all standing around like, what the hell just happened? Somebody starts slow clapping. It's Crowley. Samuel's first response is, bring Christian back now. And Crowley's like, what? My nephew, the one you just crammed a demon into. And Crowley's like, he hasn't been Christian in ages. I keep an eye on my investments. Dean puts it all together. Wait, you two know each other? You're working for Crowley? He's the one who's having you capture alphas and torture them for information about purgatory? Dean asks Crowley why he gives a crap about vampires, and Crowley tries to tell him to mind his own business. And Sam, no soul in all, comes right out and says, you may as well tell us, because we already know you're looking for purgatory. Crowley just says, I'm a developer. I want it because it's vast, underutilized, and hell adjacent. Dean balks that he's Crowley's employee, according to Crowley, and Crowley's like, of course you're my employee. You have been for some time now, thanks to your grandfather. Crowley frames this whole thing as, I know how you boys are about family loyalty, and I figured if he said jump, you'd get froggy. Like, you wouldn't question your grandfather, who is this amazing hunter who knows more than all the rest of you put together about hunting. Crowley just assumed that they wouldn't get suspicious or ask questions. They would just follow orders like they had with their own father. And Dean's like, yeah, that's not going to happen now. And Crowley's like, well, it better if you have any hope of seeing Sam's soul again. So Crowley has been informed of Sam's soulless state. Did Crowley know about that? Did Crowley return him soulless on purpose? Or is Crowley just trying to cover asses here? He knows more than he's letting on here, of course, because he's been working with Cass since the beginning. But was this some scene that we didn't get to see of Cass going, you told me Sam was fine, you know, I returned him to Earth and I didn't know that he had no soul. And Crowley says something to the effect of, you should have checked the merchandise over. Like, how much ass covering is this and how much is this willful manipulation? Because we know later on in the episode where they finally do kill Eve, Crowley's like, always cleaning up your messes, Cass. And like, Cass's messes all seem to revolve around Sam and Dean and his desire to keep them in a little protected bubble through this whole thing. So kind of makes you think that Cass is in a similar boat to Samuel here, going along with it because he really didn't have another choice that wouldn't hurt the people he cared about. And Sam and Dean going along with it for the next few episodes because they didn't really have a choice. They thought Sam's soul was hanging in the balance here. Like, how much of this is Crowley? He's the one who came up with this whole plan to crack Purgatory in the first place. He presents it to Cass. He convinces Cass that this is the way to go, that this will protect him and be the way to get the power he needs. So how much of this is just Crowley moving pieces around, as we know he's wont to do? I honestly like to give him more credit for coming up with this whole contrived plan, even if he didn't see some of the fallout that would necessarily come from all of it. But when Crowley says, oh, well, if you ever want to see Sam's soul again, you'll continue to work for me, we get a reaction shot of Gwen, who looks shocked by this news. Like, nobody even bothered to tell her that Sam didn't have a soul. She's really out of the loop on everything. She is, like, completely blameless in all of this. She's been in the dark as Dean has all season. Crowley prompts Samuel to tell Sam and Dean the entire truth. And Samuel finally comes clean that Crowley's the one who pulled Sam and him out and put them back in play here. They owe him. Dean can't believe this. He's like, you're just a punk-ass crossroads demon. Cass says it takes a hell of a lot more mojo than that to pull somebody out of the cage. Crowley's like, was a punk-ass crossroads demon. Now, king of hell. He's got a lot more power at his command as king of hell. So their alternatives are work for Crowley. He can snap his fingers and give Sam his soul back at any time. He just is using this as leverage over them. Or he can snap his fingers and Sam can go right back to the hole and you'll never see him again. The deal is simple. You bring me creatures high on the food chain, please, and I allow you to keep walking free. After Crowley disappears, even Gwen is outraged. She's like, you're letting a demon call the shots? Samuel insists that nothing's changed. They still hunt. But she apparently still trusts Samuel enough to continue hunting with him. Samuel confronts Dean. Dean's got the moral and physical high ground here. He's standing like a head and a half taller than Samuel at their current angle. And it's like, yeah, Dean is in the right here. Samuel basically walks up to him and tells him, either you put a bullet in your grandfather or nothing. Samuel's not going to do anything to him. He's sees them as his family. But Sam draws a gun, cocks it, and points it at Samuel. It's Dean who has to push the gun down. Like, Sam, you idiot. No. Sam can only see this betrayal because, again, he's got no instinct. So Samuel had been right not to tell him any of this all along because Sam would have just killed him for it. Sam argues to Dean that Samuel sold them out, that now they're stuck in Crowley's employ too, not of their own choice. And Dean's like, yeah, I know. Let it go. Dean can't even look at Samuel. Sam asks why you're letting him go, and Dean doesn't really have an answer. After Samuel leaves, Sam asks what they're going to do now, and Dean's like, we just can't work for Crowley. Sam's like, do we really have another choice? If we kill him or refuse to work for him, how do we get my soul back? We don't have any other option here. He's presented their single road to getting Sam's soul back. They have choices. Absolutely, they could choose not to work for Crowley. But what would that get them? Sam's only goal here is to find some way to get his soul back. They'll continue working for Crowley until they can find another way. And when they do, they'll give Crowley what's coming to him. But until then, they have to go on at least one incredibly stupid hunt for Crowley next week. Because that's where this episode ends. And next week, we have the episode that for the first, I don't know, 7 or 8 times I rewatched the series, every time it would come back up, I'd be like, what the hell is this? I didn't even remember it as an episode. It is that bad. It's probably my least favorite episode in season 6, if not bottom 5 of the entire series. It's just so freaking stupid, and it's going to probably be the fastest episode of Supernatural George that's been, because it's just so bad. So stupid. Why are the dog episodes always so stupid? But that's where we are this season, and it's like, I hear the complaint about season 6 about how, gosh, they had the Campbells as the antagonist at the start, and then they had Crowley as the antagonist, and then they had Eve, and it's like almost like they couldn't decide who was the antagonist, the alphas. And only on a rewatch can you really piece it together. It's all one big interrelated thing, and I do believe it was plotted that way. Kripke helped plan this entire season, remember? And it just functions as noir, as you're in the dark the whole time, and all of these little pieces are clicking into place, and it only makes sense in retrospect. Thank you, Ben Edlund, for actually making it make sense, even if it then all falls apart again and it's all just to hang all the blame on Cass for some reason. So, I hate it. But I don't accept the critique that this season doesn't make sense plot-wise. It might not be great, but it does make sense. Especially on a rewatch. Which is why we're doing this, and why we're all suffering through season 6 again, but none of us will have suffered until after next week. When we'll be watching season 6, episode 8, All Dogs Go to Heaven. And apparently these dogs don't. They go to purgatory. Being monster creatures. There's an awful lot going on in this one with family and what it actually means. And how Sam just literally has no instinct. He can't sense when something is just completely wrong feeling. Like, he can tell when people are lying. He can tell when... Like, a couple weeks ago, there was a moment where he called somebody out on not being fully honest, that she had a tell. And it's like, he can sense those physical signs and the uneasiness in her, but he's got no instinct for anything emotional. He doesn't know when to back off. He's just going on pure calculations and gut instinct that has no foundation in empathy or sympathy or understanding of humanity. And it's kind of terrifying thinking that he's gone through a whole year like this. That's why the episode after he gets his soul back is kind of eye-openingly disturbing about what it must have been like for him for that whole year. That he walked around with no soul, just thinking everything was hunky-dory, that he was doing exactly what Dean would have done. He actually thought that. And then Dean looks at him and is, like, horrified by this. Like, he felt guilty. He's like, I was this terrible role model for Sam. I shouldn't have been so ruthless and such a determined hunter and pushed him into this and blah, blah, blah. Dude, he's not emulating you. He's doing what Sam's version of what he thinks Dean is at his hunter most focused. And it's not. And it's bad and scary. I don't even think he's an objectively better hunter than Dean is. Even at his most focused. Even Dean knows where the line is and when to stop and ask questions. Anyway, we actually get some interesting views on Sam and Dean and how they see each other through a lens that we don't normally get to see them through. So I actually find season 6 kind of fascinating as a psychological study that way. But mostly I think it's just torture for Dean, because Sam doesn't give a shit about any of this right now. You know, he's just along for the ride because he doesn't have any emotional care about any of it. And Dean has got a lot more light now shined on their circumstances, but he's still stuck in those circumstances, and he still doesn't know what's up with Cass and what's truly going on in heaven. But he honestly has enough to deal with all of this information that's just been dumped on him. So at least that'll carry us for another few episodes. Unfortunately, again, one of them happens to be the stupid dog episode. Anyway, until then, you can find me on Tumblr at MittensMorgul or at SPNGeorge. You can find me on Discord, still at Mittens, hashtag 4865. Though I know some folks who've already been tapped to change their Discord handles, so that might be happening soon. Or you can email me at mittensmorgul@gmail.com, and I look forward to talking to everybody again real soon. I know I got behind a couple months back and took a hiatus to catch up, and now I'm actually getting further and further ahead every week, and it's actually kind of refreshing. Like, wow. I can actually be not stressed about doing this anymore. It's wonderful. So I guess that's my good news. I recorded this during the week of the Canadian wildfires, like, blasting here. So I was stuck indoors anyway. I figured, yeah, what the heck? I'll record some podcast. But the air is now clearing out there. So hopefully I'll be able to breathe outdoors again. Huzzah. Anyway, have a good one, everyone.